Good morning and welcome to Miami Town Church of Christ. My name is Dusty Delafield and I'm the preaching minister here. And before we get started, I just want to give a shout out to our church. I want to say thank you so much for the cards and the texts and the different people I've talked to, the concern. I am feeling better. If you missed last week or you've missed any of the news that's been out there, I got diagnosed with COVID, as well as a couple of the people here in our praise band. And church, you're just so loving, you're so caring, and I just want to say thank you so very much. I could feel your prayers, and I know that sounds kind of goofy to say. If there's anyone here listening that's maybe outside of Christ or new to the kingdom, then that might sound a little weird. But sometimes you can feel the power of the prayers being lifted up, and I could, and I thank you so much. So I'm still on the mend. I'm still on the way up. I'll still have the occasional just fatigue and get dropped out. My throat's still tired. This is my second take. So I'm going to have to make sure that I get it on this go round because I don't know if my throat's going to last through another go. So I've still got the congestion, different things there, headache a little bit, but the body aches, the joint soreness, that's faded quite a bit. So thank you so much for the prayers. David is doing well, our youth minister here, our student minister. He also got COVID, and he's doing well. He's weathering it very well. He's had a cough and some of the throat stuff going on there. And he's gotten a fever, like he's been getting nightly fevers, like fever at night and then during the day just being totally fine. But he's weathering this just fine. His symptoms are not as bad as mine were or as bad as Ryan's were and are. If you guys could, please keep Ryan in your prayers. Ryan is a week ahead of both David and myself, and he is still experiencing some of the symptoms, or they're just hanging on to him. They're still lingering. So please keep Ryan in your prayers as he continues to heal. And thank you so much for the prayers for myself, for David, for Ryan. I'm very happy with the decision the leadership made to go on and stop meeting on site and do online only. I'm excited to hear and to talk to a number of the people here in the church and to find out that it really stayed very contained within our families. And so we had our connection here on stage that Sunday, and then when Ryan came down with it on Monday, and then David and I didn't realize it until the week after that we had picked it up also. And so we only know of one person that Ryan passed it on to family-wise. His wife so far does not have it. She's tested negative. She had some symptoms, but she tested negative. So it looks like they avoided that there inside their house. Here at the church, I haven't talked to anybody else here at the church that has gotten it from that Sunday. We have a couple in our church. An older couple, they're doing well with it, but they either got it on their way back from Florida, or once they got back from Florida, they did not get it from church that Sunday. So David immediately stopped having contact there with Autumn, and so Autumn tested negative. She never got it, and that's great news. That's David's girlfriend. And we all, those of us in the church, we've known Autumn for years and years and years. And so, let me see here. So we got that and that. Oh, and my family, my boys both tested positive, but they're both doing just fine. They had mild symptoms, a little symptom here, a little symptom here, but they were all little COVID symptoms. So we thought, well, let's go on and get them tested, just to make sure. And come to find out, both of them came back positive. And so, my wife is not, she got tested, but it hasn't come back yet. So it's been a while, a few days, and that normally means a negative. So So with Heather living with Ryan and Ryan having such a difficult time of it, and my wife being in a house where all three of us got it, me and the two boys, but she's been immune so far. The government might be contacting these two ladies and asking for their plasma or something to study. So I don't know. So far, Jess has been all right. She is quarantined now because the boys both have it, and since she's negative right now, the doctors from Children's have told her that she needs to quarantine, which is perfect because my time ended. So now I'm a free man. I can go out. And so now I'm doing the grocery shopping and helping take care of the family and picking up whatever to-go food or whatnot when we need it. So I am able to go out in public now. So just a quick update on that. And just thank you so much for the prayers. Continue to keep us in your prayers. And I think that that we've done a good job as a church containing things. Along those lines, we tried to contact as many people as we could by phone. We had a email that went out. Facebook and our front page all had the information that we were not meeting on site today, 11-1, or next Sunday, 11-8. We want to let this virus kind of go through our families if it's going to go through our families, and if there's anyone that maybe came in contact with it and they're asymptomatic. We want to make sure that we gave this plenty of time before we came back together physically together as a congregation. So on-site services are not happening today. Even the sign out front is adjusted to reflect that. So hopefully we got to everyone. If not, I'm so sorry if you showed up on Sunday morning and we had locked doors and lights were out. So, but that's the case today. And then next Sunday, 11-8, we're hoping to, our intent is to reconvene on 11-15. And, we're still keeping our ears open, our eyes open. Hamilton County looks like they're headed into purple. And I don't know what that's going to mean for us. Our area, Harrison numbers are up. Well, I was talking to someone today, and they said that the United States is up, that today was a record high for COVID cases. So it doesn't look like it's going to get any better as we head into the fall and the seasons. So just keep praying for us as a leadership that we're wise and that we make good decisions to keep everyone safe and healthy, and you can do your part in doing what you can to stay safe and healthy. So that's where we are. So on to this morning's sermon. I didn't take as much time today as I did last Sunday in getting this all caught up on church news and COVID stuff. A while ago, we started and we did a series on 1 Thessalonians, and then I took a couple weeks break, and David stepped in and he preached a couple sermons, and then I was going to jump back in with 2 Thessalonians last Sunday, but because I thought this Sunday we would all be here together, I went ahead and just did a standalone sermon last Sunday on prayer, and that's on the website, and that goes hand in hand with the sermon that David had on prayer earlier this year. So today we get a chance to jump into 2 Thessalonians. Since we got a couple Sundays that are going to be in this format, I decided just going to start in, and we'll be able to hopefully have our third sermon on 2 Thessalonians all together here on site again. So 2 Thessalonians. Now I will have both 1 and 2 Thessalonians sermons on the same page on our website. So the sermon for today will be on the front page, and it will also be on the page for the sermon series. And we'll have 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. So if you missed any of the 1 Thessalonians messages, or if this is your first time finding us and getting a chance to hear a little something from Miami Town Church of Christ, then they'll all be there together. So you can go back and look at 1 Thessalonians and listen to the messages, the audio, or watch and listen to them through the video on there. So 1 Thessalonians, we went through that. Now we're in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians is a shorter book. 1 Thessalonians is pretty short anyway, but 2 Thessalonians is only 3 chapters. And Paul just jumps right in, and he's pretty boom, boom, boom. He's pretty, and some people look at 2 Thessalonians and think that it's a little more of a cold book. It's not as warm as first. But he's really, he's just jumping in and he's writing this letter to address three main topics. And he just kind of jumps boom, boom, boom. And all three were topics that he's already talked about in his first letter to the church in Thessalonica. And so these three topics are suffering and persecution, the Lord's return, and then there's a problem inside the church of idleness that he talked about a little bit in 1 Thessalonians, and then he comes back to it in 2 Thessalonians. And so as of right now, it looks like we might just have a three-part series here for 2 Thessalonians. But without me being on a schedule, there's some freedom to kind of be a little liquid and fluid with things. So who knows what might happen. But as of right now, I'm looking at three sermons in this series on each of these different subjects. So today we're talking about persecution and suffering. And this actually covers the whole chapter 1 in 2 Thessalonians. And the sermon is talking about the persecution and the suffering. That's the subject that Paul is talking about. But the title of the sermon is not persecution or suffering or anything that really uses those words or words like them. The sermon title I've chosen for today is God's power, patience, and justice. God's power, patience, and justice. And you'll see why as the sermon today kind of unfolds. So let's just jump right in. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he starts off with his normal greeting. You know, I'm Paul and I'm writing this in the grace and peace to you type greeting. And then we go down to verse 3 and we see another familiar sight in Paul's letters that he will go into a thank you section. And typically the thank you section is connected to the content of the letter. And so this is just the same as we would expect there. So he says in verse 3, he says, We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. So this is, we're going to see how long this sentence really is. And even already in the English translation, we've already had two periods. But as far as this sentence, it is one huge Pauline sentence in the Greek. He doesn't come to an end of the sentence. And all of this is linked together. And it shows how connected the thoughts of what we're talking about today were connected for Paul and how connected they should be to us as well. Paul commented on their notable faith and their notable love. He commented on that in his first letter to them, that their faith and their love, that they had a good reputation. He keeps hearing about that. And he encourages them in the first letter not to let that plateau. Don't let that trail off. Don't let that just kind of get, you know, don't get comfortable. But always grow, always be continuing to increase. Let me remind you of that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. He says, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. So you're doing it. You're doing a good job. He says, now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. So you're doing it. You got it. Keep doing it. Do it more and more and more. And then a few verses down in verse 10 of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, he says, and in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia, yet we urge you. There's that word again, urge. It's not just a, you know, just an encouragement. It's an exhortation, you know, something that's a strong encouragement. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. So you love, and you love all of Macedonia, but listen, you can't stop. You can't plateau. You got to keep going more and more. And Paul's prayer for them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. And so then here in 2 Thessalonians, we see that their faith is growing more and more. And so they listen to his encouragement, his exhortation, his prayer for them is showing to be true, that they didn't plateau, that they are continuing to increase. Their faith is growing more and more. Their love for each other is increasing more and more. But also not only has their faith and their love continued to increase, but also has the persecution. The persecution has also increased and grown. And they continue to persevere, but they continue to be persecuted. And that continues to grow as well. And we cannot miss the direct connection made here, even in the very beginning of this huge, super long sentence. We can't miss the direct connection of what's going on here, that we know that persecution is going to happen to God's church. And we know that. Paul assured the Thessalonian church in his first letter, this is going to happen. It's not an if thing. It's not if this happens, it's when. It's when you suffer, when you are persecuted, when you go through trials of all kinds. The Thessalonian church, they were birthed in persecution. If you remember that from our first part of the series in 1 Thessalonians, that Paul was in Philippi and his first step into Macedonia was into Philippi. Did I have that map turned around right for you guys? So, yes, I think I did. So, Paul, instead of going this way, he goes this way into Macedonia. And his first stop into Philippi, it was just awful persecution. There was a riot, and they were arrested and thrown in jail and stripped and beaten before they were shackled in this inner cell. It was a mess. And so they went from Philippi over to Thessalonica, stop two into Macedonia, a place where obviously God was very clear that they should go to Macedonia. He called to them and told Paul in a vision, this is where I want you to go. And he stopped them twice trying to turn this way into Asia Minor and told them to go this way into Macedonia. And so second stop, Thessalonica, and persecution continues. We know that they were there at least 3 weeks, probably not too awful long. So he was probably only in Thessalonica for just a number of weeks before they had to leave because of persecution. So the church at Thessalonica was birthed in persecution. And the persecution continued so much that as they moved from Thessalonica, they went down to Berea, and they chased them down to Berea. The persecution chased them to Berea so much so that they had to go all the way down to Athens, and then in Corinth, down here, a good deal south from where they started up there in Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea, in order to get far enough away from the persecution so that they could have a fruitful ministry and continue their fruitful ministry. So perseverance in persecution will be directly connected to increasing love and faith in God's church. We can't miss that. Persecution's always going to happen. But perseverance in persecution, that's always going to be directly connected to faith and love growing and increasing, not just plateauing, but that these two core values, that if they cease to grow, if they just plateau, if they dwindle off, then we're going to be weak, we're going to be vulnerable on the times when trials come in, when persecution comes in. Kind of like when Jesus talks about the seed that fell on the rocks and it didn't have a chance to grow roots into the soil. Well, a lot of the people listening today and sharing with me in this study, a lot of us have roots in the soil, but you can't just say, well, I've got roots in the soil, I'm good. Those roots have to continue to grow and grow and grow and grow to be effective. Because our trials and our persecutions and our sufferings and the troubles and the hardships that we encounter, they're going to get stronger and stronger. And for that seed that fell along the rock, Jesus said, when the hard times, when difficult times come into your life, it's like the sun coming up and that plant just withers and fades away. And we can't let that happen. And so this idea where Paul's instructing them in 1 Thessalonians that you're doing a great job with your faith, you got to go more and more. You're doing a great job loving each other, that's got to increase more and more. And we see this here in 2 Thessalonians. And we need to be reminded, church, we need to be reminded that these have to continue to increase. These core values of faith and love cannot plateau. Or else we become vulnerable. We become weak. It becomes dangerous for us. Faith and love, they're not basic qualities of our relationship with God because they are simple. No, they are basic qualities because they are foundational. They're not basic because they're simple. They're basic because they are foundational. And we must always be conscious of these two qualities in our walk with God, and they should always be increasing more and more. So church, you love. Great. Love more. You have great faith. Great. Have more faith. Have faith more and more. That faith should be growing. You've loved people inside the church. You've loved people outside the church. And you've done so for years and years and years. Great. Continue to find ways to love even more. To increase your love for others even more and more. You've served for years. You have been faithful. You have been loyal. You have been dependent on God for decades. Great. And you know what I'm going to say? Do so more and more. We cannot ever grow complacent in our faith and love. It harms the kingdom. It decreases our effectiveness for the kingdom. But in addition to that, for us personally, it is just flat out dangerous. It leaves you undefended when persecution comes. And we must be ready for persecution. Paul tells the Thessalonian church, listen, it's going to happen. We're not immune either, church. Persecution is going to happen to us. We are going to go through persecution because of our faith, and we're going to go through just normal suffering because we live in a broken world. We live in a world that has been tainted with sin. And we have illnesses and things like COVID, and we have things like natural disasters even, and where we have a world that's not functioning like the perfect world that God created because sin entered this world and the whole creation suffers from it. So persecution, suffering, difficult times, all these things, they are going to happen. And we cannot afford to be weak or vulnerable. And so we need to make sure that our love is increasing. We need to make sure that our faith is increasing so that we are prepared for these times so that we can persevere. Our endurance and perseverance stands on a foundation of growing faith and increasing love. Let me read that again after we've kind of broken that down. Back up in verse 3, and then we're going to continue reading. Verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he says, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring." And he continues in verse 5. "All this is evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God of which you are suffering. God is just." I want you to say that right now in your living room. I mean, you got people in the living room. It might feel a little strange, but if we were here in church, I would ask you to just say that out loud. Those three words, God is just. God is just. If you're listening to this, and you're driving around in the car, you're listening at a later date, just months and months and months down the road, maybe a few years from now, and you're listening to this sermon, I want you to say that in your car. God is just. If you're listening on your lunch break, or if you're just, you know, wherever you are, and if you can't say it out loud, and you're somewhere public, or then say it in your head. Just pause for a moment and hear those three words from your own inner voice, from your own mouth, if you can do so. God is just. God is just. That's how verse 6 starts here. God is just. Now, I want us to say that because I want us to think and to reflect on that a little bit. do we really believe that? I mean, we can say it. We can say those three words. We can agree with each other as we hear someone say that. When we hear someone say God is just, if you're hearing me say God is just, or we were sitting in a Sunday school and we hear someone in the Sunday school class say God is just, or if we hear someone else in a conversation say that God is just, or wherever we would come across that statement, we would agree with it as Christians. We would give the Sunday school inner answer that, yeah, he's just. God is just. That's a true statement. I agree with that statement. But I want us to pause and really reflect on that, that when the rubber hits the road, do we really believe that in the core of who we are, that God is just? That in our understanding of God, do we truly trust that he is 100% just? When things go wrong, when things go bad, when things are difficult, when we get laid off during cutbacks, when we get a diagnosis from the doctor, when we lose a loved one, when someone lets us down, when someone betrays us, when someone stabs us in the back, when we're thrown to the wolves, when it seems like our whole world is just crashing down around us, when it seems like that God has been silent and uninvolved, when it seems like every time you turn around, something else in your life is blowing up in your face, do we still really believe that statement, those three words, that God is just? We should. We should. Because he is. But it's not always easy to really believe those three words, is it? And when we ask ourselves, if God is so good, if God is so good, then why do bad things happen to good people? How can a God filled with love allow me to go through so much pain? Can't God see that I'm hurting here? If God is so powerful, then why has he not stepped in and put an end to this? Why has he not stepped in to do something? We need to remember that God is just. And Paul reminds us of God's justice. I'm going to reread that, and as we continue to read verse 6. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and will relieve you and will give relief to you. My apologies. Let me go back here. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. So Paul's saying, hey, you're not in this alone. We're in this together and we're all going to receive relief and God's going to take vengeance for us. He says this will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with blazing fire with his powerful angels. God's relief is not always instant when things go wrong in our lives. God's vengeance is not always an immediate retaliation on those who have wronged his people. We must love and be faithful as we trust in God's justice. We must endure and persevere, knowing that God's always on the throne. And that's not always easy. That's not always easy. But it's what we must do. And not just to love and to be faithful, but to increase. That has to be turning up, to love more and more, to have our more and more faith. And all the while, as we trust that God is just, no matter what's going on around us, in our lives, God is just. And to trust in that our hope is in the promise that he is going to come through for us and that we are going to be taken care of. We need to remember that God is patient, wanting all to come to repentance. But once God's patience has come to an end and it's time to send Jesus back to earth, it will be a great day of victory for God's children. And it will be an awful time of defeat for those who have stood against Jesus and his church. Paul continues in verse 8. He says, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among those who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. God's justice will be final and permanent. Our sufferings are momentary. Our trials are temporary. Our current grief is brief. When we look at the grand timeline of eternity, our sorrows are short-lived. Our distress is fleeting. And when we take in the big picture, we should be able to see that. When we step back and we get a God's eye point of view at it, that Paul is trying to share with the Thessalonians, and that even 2,000 years later, we can read this letter to the Thessalonian church and be reminded ourselves that our troubles are short, our suffering's short. It's not easy to be patient and trust in God in the process, but we must, because of the hope we have in the promise of his vindication, of his rescue, of his relief. And the promise we have in the hope of his justice, that God is just. In the book of Revelation, Jesus reminds us the suffering church in Smyrna that he is the first and the last. He's the beginning and he's the end. That he's the one who died and who rose again. And that those who remain faithful, even in the face of extreme suffering, that Jesus reminds them that in the church, the suffering church in Smyrna, that those who remain faithful, he will give them the victor's crown. The victor's crown. Jesus reminds the church in Pergamum that he says in Pergamum, where Satan has his throne, where Satan lives, Jesus says, I'm coming. And the picture that Jesus gives to that church of himself is he's coming with a sharp, double-edged sword coming out of his mouth. And Jesus says, I will fight against those, against the enemies of the church with that sword of his mouth. When Jesus comes a second time, it's not a grace-filled, the Jesus that we saw as the shepherd to the sheep in his first appearance. That's not what the second coming looks like. The second coming, he is coming with power, and he is bringing justice, and he is bringing in all of his authority and his righteousness. And in God's judgment, It's not just based on how people have treated God's people, how people have treated the church, but more importantly, God's judgment is poured out on how they have treated his son. How they've treated God's gracious offer of forgiveness and salvation. If they've rejected God, if they have rejected his offer for salvation, his offer for forgiveness, then God's judgment will be final and their destruction will be forever. They will get what they desired. the desire they expressed here on earth, that they wanted nothing to do with God, nothing to do with his plan, nothing to do with his gospel, and God will grant them what they desired here on earth. They will be granted eternity, separated from God, shut out from the presence of the Lord, permanently. Justice will prevail. God's patience will come to fruition. God's power will be shown. And justice will be seen by all. No one will escape experiencing this day. For believers, for those of us who have placed our faith in God and who have responded to the gospel message of Jesus Christ, it will be a day of victory for us. For those that have not, for those that have rejected the gospel of Jesus, it will be a day of destruction for them. See, in the meantime, I think a lot of us know that day is on its way. But in the meantime, the here and now, we live in a world that's tainted by sin. We live in a world where evil is free to infiltrate and to influence in various ways through disease, through sickness and illness. We've seen plenty of this in 2020. We've seen plenty of it for decades, for as long as the earth has been subject to the fall of mankind. We've seen these things through corrupt hearts and minds, through the dark powers and principalities present and active in this world. That's the reality we live in now and today, and we have to keep our mind and focused that our suffering and what we are going through now because of these things, it will end someday. It will end with the coming of Christ. Jesus' return to earth will be one of power and of victory for us. We're told that God himself will wipe every tear from our eyes. And all that is evil will be destroyed. This promise of hope that we've been given this promise as God's children, sealed by the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Let me remind you that we are reading one sentence. If my understanding is correct in my studies, that we are already down to verse 10 of 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. The sentence started in verse 3, and we are already down to verse 10. And my understanding is this is a one continuous sentence that even continues into verse 11. And the idea is that we need to understand that all of this was connected in Paul's thought, so much so that he couldn't find a place to end the sentence, that he just kept going, kind of like my sermons. So this continues on into verse 11, this sentence and this thought of Paul's. Verse 11, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So our continually growing faith and love that produces endurance and perseverance in our present suffering, whether it's from persecution or it's from natural sources of suffering, that is connected to trusting in God's power and trusting in God's justice, that God is just and the finality of his judgment at the end of time is final. And that with all of that in mind, Paul prays for the Thessalonian church, and we should also understand that we are recipients of a very similar prayer from each of us to each of us, and that Jesus prayed for his church, not only the disciples in his time, but his church over the millennials that we've experienced, the hundreds of years, the couple thousand years that the church has been in existence. Jesus was praying for each and every one of us. And Paul prays for the Thessalonian church that God would make them worthy of his calling. Earlier up in verse 5, Paul says, all of this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, which you are suffering. So our endurance and perseverance, that doesn't qualify us to be part of God's kingdom. We have been bought by the power of Jesus' blood. We have been given grace freely. We did nothing to earn this, so don't get that mixed up. But what Paul is talking about here, and in both verse 5 and down here in verses 10 and 11, is that we have been called to a higher lifestyle. We've been called to love more. We've been called to have more faith. We've been called to endure. We've been called to persevere. That all came with the grace that was given to us through Jesus Christ. Now it's our job to live up to that. It's our job to live up to that calling, that we would live up to be worthy of that calling. Not that we'll ever actually earn it. We're never going to be worthy of it, but we live up to that calling. And we do so, and he makes a mention of this here in this final passage I just read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. That we do so by his power working in us and working on us, that he works through us and he develops us in the power of his Holy Spirit. And as we see this whole sentence connected here, from verse 3 all the way down through verse 11, and I think maybe into verse 12 was our last, is that our last one there? Scrolling back up. Yes, verse 12, I believe. I know it goes through verse 11, or at least the best I can understand from my studies that it goes through verse 11. But we see this continuity of all this coming together, that our love and our faith should be increasing and growing as we continue to let God guide our God's power guide and direct our lives. That if he has freedom to guide and direct your life, to move you, he's always going to be moving you forward. He's always going to be helping you to increase your faith and increase your love. Always. And that's where it gets dangerous, when we plateau and we dwindle off, because God's spirit inside of us would never let us plateau or fall off. God's always going to be pushing us for more and better, and always helping us to live up to that calling. And that happens through him working in us and through us. And as he works in us and through us, and we're increasing in our love and increasing our faith, then we're going to be stronger. We're going to be able to withstand the persecution that we may face. We're going to be able to go through difficult times and times of suffering and all sorts of different things from now until the time when Jesus comes back. We're going to be able to be held strong through that as we let God move and work in us and help us to grow up to be that mature person in Christ that we are called to be. Now today, I want to conclude this morning by reading a passage out of Revelation, a picture of this end of times, starting in chapter 20, verse 11, and I'm reading through chapter 21, verse 8. So Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, John writes, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, death and Hades gave up the dead that were in it, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And people wonder why Revelation is my favorite book. I love this. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Pray with me. Father, thank you so very much for the assurance of your justice. Father, as we read these words from Revelation, we're reminded of what we are looking forward to as Christians. Hopefully, it is a reminder of the importance of us being active in sharing your gospel with others. Because those that have not responded, they have a different outcome than the one that we are looking forward to. Father, I pray that these words from 2 Thessalonians would be encouraging to us, that whatever we find ourselves in right now, if it's persecution because of our faith, or if it's simply suffering or trials because we live in a fallen world, Father, that you will help us to focus in on that, that our love and our faith will be increasing as we allow you to have more and more freedom in our life to work, so that we would endure and persevere, and that we would keep our hope focused. And that we would be able to say in the core of who we are that you are just, and that we would believe every part of what that means, no matter what we are going through or living through or healing from. Thank you so very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.